Well, this morning I've titled this message, 3 Days to Live. You know, we think about our Christianity and our Christian faith, and it seems that we're very cross-centered, we're cross-centric. We think about the death of Jesus Christ as being the focal point of all of our Christianity. And yet, the Christian story is really about 3 days. And so this morning I want to take us through a journey, a 3-day journey to look at the core of Christianity. There's 3 days to live in this journey. First, we'll see day one, what we've called Good Friday. Day one, the perfect sacrifice. And then, of course, day two, we in our spiritual journey, we're asking along with the disciples, we're asking along with the followers of Jesus, is this all there is? An incredible teacher? Some incredible teaching, and now he's gone? Is this all there is? And then day three, resurrection life. We begin with day one, the perfect sacrifice. The beginning of the Christian message is this. Just as man is destined to die one time, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. The Christian message, we say it's about forgiveness. Martin Luther said this. He said, forgiveness of sins is the very core of Christianity, and yet it is a mighty dangerous thing to preach. He found that out the hard way. He believed in a once-for-all sacrifice, in a once-for-all forgiveness that was achieved not by visiting a building, not by seeing a man talking to him in a pine box, but by looking back on the one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ and putting all of his stock in that one event for once for all forgiveness. What does Hebrews tell us here in chapter 9? It says, Jesus was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Your Jesus will never die again. And God has created a simple formula for our forgiveness. Blood brings forgiveness. If there is no more blood, there is no more forgiveness being given. And so the purpose of the gospel on day one is to unleash upon humanity the ability to be totally cleansed before God. One time, and have it last a lifetime. He will appear, Jesus will appear a second time. Part of the Christian message is that Jesus comes to meet us in the air and he returns. And what does it say? He will appear a second time not to bear sin. Some of us have been fearful about the return of Jesus. We imagine the movie screen of our sins. And as the reel is rolling and all of our friends are watching, we're afraid of that blockbuster film to come. But that's not the Christian message. The Christian message is that when Jesus returns, it is without reference to sin. It is not to bear sin. Why? Because he already bore it on day one. The message of day one is that our sins have been forgiven. Are you living in day one? Have you moved beyond day one? Is there more to the Christian message than forgiveness alone? Day after day, in the Old Testament, if you know the stories, it was the priest for 60 or 80 or 100 years, and then it was another priest, and then it was another priest, and another. And so day after day, and year after year, and century after century, these priests, they would stand and they would perform these religious duties inside of a temple or a tabernacle, and they would continually offer blood sacrifices, animals, year after year. And it says, again and again, they offered the same sacrifices which could never take away our sins. But, and this is day one talk, this is emphasizing the work of Jesus on day one, but when this priest, Jesus Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of God. So picture it now. For thousands of years, priests standing up. in the anxiety of it all, dealing with Israel's sins year after year after year, making sure that every sacrifice was perfectly performed and done exactly as prescribed so that they didn't flub it up. And sins were covered. And the next year, sins were covered. And the next year, covered again. But this New Testament message, this day one message of Jesus, is that Jesus Christ made one sacrifice for sins without anxiety, without stress, and without need for repetition. He then sat down at the right hand of God. God is relaxed about that sacrifice. It is finished. It's over. Jesus knows what he accomplished. He is seated at God's right hand. Your sins have been dealt with. It's over. Even the Holy Spirit, the book of Hebrews says, the Holy Spirit also testifies. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these sins have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. What is the New Testament message? The day one proclamation is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in one accord. They agree. They are for us. The entire Trinity is pleased to have us. Our sins have been forgotten. The message of day one. By one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are the holy ones. We can find ourselves in what I call the Martha syndrome, trying to dance around the kitchen for Jesus and try to get perfect and get right and get okay with God, trying to be right and be okay and keep our lives clean for Him. And then there's Mary, seated at the feet of Jesus, seated at the feet of Jesus, relaxing and enjoying Him. Our destiny, because of day one, our destiny is to feast on the finished work of Jesus Christ and sit at His feet and enjoy Him. But even as good as that is, there's more. Are you living in day one, or have you moved on to find something greater? Hebrews 10 says, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and where these have been forgiven, past tense, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Day one is old news. We wear crosses around our necks, dangling from a chain. We put crosses on the wall with Jesus hanging on them. Day one is old news. There is a third day. We're invited to that third day. And the third day changes everything. Are you living in day one? Or have you seen it? There's a dawn. There's a new day. There's a Jesus. And there is a life in us now. But day two comes. We've seen the forgiveness. We've sat down with Jesus Christ and said, I agree. I can't keep myself forgiven. I can't make myself forgiven. I can't clean myself. Only you can make me clean. And you've done it. And it's over. And I thank you. But this doesn't make any sense. Just a license to sin? This is just a license to sin. Just as the disciples, the followers of Jesus who had sat under his teaching, they're scratching their heads on Saturday, thinking, what just happened to us? What's going on? The brilliant teacher, the God-man, all of the teaching, and now just a death. And we, in our Christian journey, we can find ourselves focused on the cross of Jesus Christ and waking up on day two and saying, is this all there is for me? Is this all there is in the gospel? A teaching? A teacher who died and then was taken away to heaven? Is there more? Doesn't behavior matter? A question asked on day two. Forgiveness is great, but how do I change? I was sitting in a coffee shop and I was talking to a man. He said, I've lived my whole life serving the church. I was a chaplain. I ministered to people as a chaplain. He said, I've studied the Bible my whole life. He said, I've been to Bible college. He said, but I got to be honest with you. I've reached a point where I feel like I'm living a double life. I mean, I feel like I've served church and I've worked for God, but I have no power for change. My life is not changing. What's the problem? And so as we talked, I began to probe a little deeper and ask him some questions about his spiritual past. What was his understanding of the gospel? Jesus, a loving God. Jesus, an important sacrifice. The church, a good influence on the world. His desire to serve and be a good influence on the world. He had church. He had religion. He had some understanding of the cross. But he had no life. He had no resurrection life. You know what Paul says? He says, if there is no resurrection, then we are still dead in our sins. Because the resurrection is what brings life. The cross brings us forgiveness. Romans tells us we are saved by his life. That day, the man sitting across from me, the light bulb went off. He had had religion. That day was his third day. That day, he received life. Do you have religion? Or do you have Jesus? Do you live with an academic understanding of day one with a cross dangling from your neck? Or do you live with a true understanding of day three and the life of Jesus Christ dwelling within you? One is just playing church. And there's a whole lot more fun things out there to do than play church. The other is the most meaningful change a person can ever experience. God's life come to us in the person of Jesus. Day three. Are you living in day three? There's a movie called Pleasantville. And this movie is a movie that for the first half, it's all black and white. And then somewhere in the movie, they discover the life of free choice. And then as you're watching this film, the film changes before your eyes. It goes from black and white to a vivid color. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about life going from an academic understanding of day one to a vivid, colorful understanding of day three. We're talking about moving from a black and white existence, just being among the masses like anyone else, to being God's child, resurrected in Him. If you are in Christ, you are living life in a dynamic, 3D, in-your-face, technicolor way that God has designed for us to live. Living from Him. Not living dead and black and white in our sins. So day three rolls around. The crucifixion. The confusion. And now day three, resurrection 1 Corinthians says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Man, one of the authors of the Christian documents, the epistles that we look to, he himself is saying the resurrection is not optional. And there are Christian people, Christian literature pieces today saying that Jesus was awesome, he was an incredible teacher, and that the crucifixion is true, but that the resurrection is allegory, that the resurrection is symbolic, that there is no resurrection. The whole thing hinges on the resurrection. And it's not to show God's power over death. He already did that in raising Lazarus. God already proved himself and his power over death in raising Lazarus from the dead. Why did he raise from the dead? To bring life to us. We are not in Lazarus. We are in Jesus. The purpose of his resurrection was to bestow upon us, to open the floodgates and let divine life, the life that was lost in the garden, restored to us in Jesus Christ. And that's day three. Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Baptism saves you. Well, hang on. Not water. What does it say? Not the removal of dirt. How do you get dirt off of you? With water. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but a different kind of baptism, an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you notice that it's not through the cross alone? That the conscience that we have before God is not just that our sins were taken away. You know what we would be then? We would be what is on bumper stickers across America. We would be sinners saved by grace. That's how we say it in Texas. Sinners saved by grace. So we would be forgiven spiritual corpses. Our behavior dealt with. And that's it. But there's a day three. And we are raised, and we are new, and we are not sinners by nature. Yes, we commit sins, but we are not the sum total of what we do. We are saints. To the saints at Rome, to the saints at Ephesus, why is Paul speaking this way? It's not a pretend show. It's day three. We've been raised with him. Through the resurrection, we get the good conscience. I want a good conscience before God, and so I try to live right. It's not about your life, it's about his life. I want a good conscience before God, so I try to serve him, to have a good conscience. You don't have a good conscience through serving God. We get a good conscience as Jesus served God through the cross and the resurrection and gave us the freedom to have a good conscience before him. Have you been baptized into the resurrection? I'm not inviting you up front today to get wet with water, to get the dirt off of your flesh. I'm asking, if you're in Christ, do you know what you've been placed into? Today is the greatest thing that we can celebrate. We celebrate a newness that we experience because of Jesus and because of day three. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. We use that term a lot. In the Bible Belt, this term is popular, born again, born again, born again. Do you know what born again means? Other places, it says, born of the Spirit, born of God's Spirit. I'll never forget the 9 months that I waited to see our son Gavin be born. 9 months of waiting and thinking of a name and planning for it, getting so excited about that day, and then seeing him, and then watching him grow and noticing he had characteristics of his parents. His dad's features, his mom's features. He looked like us because he came from us, because he was born of us. It wasn't that we were pretending he was part of our family or acting as if. It wasn't even that he was just adopted. He became part of our family, but his DNA was what showed us he was born of us. Adoption, it's part of the Christian message. We have been adopted as children of God. But there's more. We participate in his nature. We participate in God's divine nature. Our DNA has been changed. He's infused us with the life of Jesus. And that's day 3 talk. Day 1, forgiveness. Day 2, is there more? Day 3, the infusion of life. The Christian life, what we call the Christian life, it's not difficult. It's ridiculously impossible. Because it's Christ's life. The Christian life is Christ's life. Did you know Christ, he was living the Christian life before the world was created. The Christian life is him. We're reading our Bibles and thumbing through verses and memorizing character traits. Okay, love, joy, peace, patience. Got to be patient. It's Jesus. That is a painting of Jesus. It's a painting of Jesus' life. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was living it. He is life. And so day 3 is, I will give you my life. So that I can live my life through you, because I'm asking you to live a life that you can't live. Please don't rededicate your efforts to me. I've seen that for thousands of years with Israel. It started with that first Promise Keepers Convention. Moses comes down from the mountain, reads everything in the law, and they say, yeah, we'll do everything. And then they recommit, and then they recommit. God's seen it. He's seen it so many times. What he's saying is, let me do it for you. Let me live the life that you can't live. I will do it for you. I will do it in you. I will do it through you. And it all happens because of day 3. Are you living in day 1, thanking God for forgiveness? Or are you living from day 3 and the life that's been given to you? There's 3 days to live. Day 1, the perfect sacrifice. Day 2, is this all there is? And day 3, resurrection life in us. Have you moved beyond the cross? Are you living in the third day reality? Life. Life is discovered in the third day. It's Christ in you, and life is now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful for the cross. We are so grateful for the forgiveness that you took away our sins, that you did what a loving father would do. You said, it's off the record. I take it away. I remember it no more. Father, we thank you for that side of the gospel. But today, as we spend time together in this room, we reflect on day three. There may be somebody here that's never understood what day three is about. Somebody that wants to say along with me, I want life. I want Jesus. I've had church, I've had religion, I've had trying to be good, and I want Jesus. I invite Jesus into my life. Father, many of us, we are in you. We have the Spirit. We have Jesus. And yet, we don't know what we have. We don't know how good it is. I pray, Father, that you might show us more fully. Show us what it means to live in day three. Show us what it means to have life. We thank you that life is now. In Jesus' name, amen. A popular question to ask in our day is what would Jesus do? And so we look back at day one, we look past day one to the life and the teachings of Jesus, and we ask, what would Jesus do? But that's not the third day story, and that's not the third day message. The third day message is not what would Jesus do back then. The third day story is what is Jesus Christ doing in me and through me today? Which story are you living? The first day or the third day? Today we celebrate the third day, and life is now. Have a great day.